You might have already seen a little preview of Bangarra Dance Theatre's latest work with the bodies of their dancers illuminated on the southern pylon of the Sydney Harbour Bridge as part of Vivid. The work, A Dark Emu, is choreographed by artistic director Stephen Page and longtime Bangarra dancers and collaborators Yolanda Brown and Daniel Riley, and is inspired by Bruce Pascoe's award-winning book that challenges the hunter-gathering myth of pre-colonial Aboriginal Australians. Joining us on the line now is Wiradjuri man, Bangarra senior dancer and choreographer Daniel Riley. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, it's happening this Friday. How has everything been for you?
Good. We've been, travelling along and just putting puzzle pieces together, and, you know, just now it's about massaging the choreography with the lighting and the costumes and the sets and, you know, the whole kind of bringing all the elements together, I suppose.
Mm. So what made you guys turn to Bruce Pascoe's work in the first place for this creation?
That would probably be a good question for Stephen, in that he's artistic director. So Stephen comes up with the concepts and the kind of the ideas that, you know, that us as a company want to push forward. And I think that he ran into Bruce at some point last year at the Writers' Festival on the wharf where Bangarra is situated. They were just, you know, they know each other and they said hello and knew Bruce had seen or was coming to see Bennelong, and he was very excited about seeing Bennelong, and they ended up coming to opening night of Bennelong here in Sydney, and Bruce mentioned just like, oh, you should do Dark Emu the work, and I think Stephen kind of laughed it off and was like, yeah, that would be really great, but maybe in the future, and I think it just stuck with him, and he'd heard of the book, obviously, and how kind of important the written work has become, you know, for Australian mainstream audiences who like to, you know, read and digest literature and, you know, books of importance and historical importance also. And look, the book is nothing that Indigenous Australians didn't already know in terms of the connection, you know, and how important the connection to country is and to land and the song cycles of backburning and the reciprocal relationships between Aboriginal Australians and animals in hunting together, and this connection to cycles of seed harvesting. And so the book states all of that knowledge in a clear kind of academic way. And we were just really interested and really fascinated that how we can bring this, the ideas and the concepts of that book to life on stage from our Black perspective.
Yeah, I mean, because the book, as you mentioned, it kind of really looks into sophisticated land care, agriculture, as well as aquaculture practices of Indigenous Australians. How do you kind of explore that in dance?
That's a good question. We through a relationship that Stephen has with a dramaturg called Alana Valentine, between Alana and Stephen read the book and really pulled the book apart and looked at the key concepts in each chapter. You know, the way the book is broken up is in chapters, obviously. And so they looked at, you know, what's the true Black Aboriginal kind of First Nations connection in this story. What's important about that? You know, what's important about the backburning, and what's important about fire or a ceremony of seed harvest? The connection to Creator God Bayami. You know, what is so important, and what's the strongest kind of feeling that comes out of those ideas and concepts? And so from pulling apart the book, we came up with a storyboard in a way of a running kind of flowing narrative and how the work will unfold. And that's what we stuck to through creation.
Mm. So the narrative itself is set through a series of interconnected stories. What are these kind of stories that you're kind of weaving?
Stories from that, like that Alana's pulled from the book, you know, stories of the creator God Bayami, and that creation of, you know, before we were human? What was there? So through that, through the ceremony of grain harvest, through to the ceremony and the ritual of land management through fire, the songline connection from the Bogong moths in the snowy mountains down through all the way, and how the Bogong moth story connects down to Eden, which is, and there's a humpback whale, killer whale story down in Eden. And so we look at that song line. We look at fish traps, like the Bruwarrina fish traps that Bruce talks a lot about in the book. And, you know, we dissected it, and we how we connect to, you know, that kind of that architecture and that way of hunting and the building, but the weighting of that, you know, the ingenuity, I suppose, is a great word that the book the book very clearly sets out the ingenuity of Aboriginal Australia, you know, and but then on the mirrored side of that, and how, you know, how sad and a shame it was that colonialism and the colonial invasion didn't see that. Well, they chose not to see that, you know. There's a blind ignorance there where they'd sat and just watched for long enough that they could have learnt, but they were just, they didn't want to, you know, they were ignorant enough to just turn a blind eye and just go, no, we'll do what we want to do. So we'd also look at that relationship as well.
Yeah. You mentioned all the song lines as well as some like the traditional rituals. Do you have to do a lot of community consultation when you kind of go through these communities and look back at their ancient rituals?
Yes, always. Stephen's, you know, very conscious of making sure that we're representing that nation correctly, in the right way, you know, and that the politics are right and we're talking to the right people. And that's the important part of Bangarra as a foundation, is to find these nations and these stories and represent them correctly and to their maximum strength, so they can have a maximum impact and, you know, to help these stories continue to live and survive and flourish in our kind of this mainstream world.
I mean, it sounds like it's been quite a process moving from the concept to the movement as well as the music. How was that with you collaborating with Stephen and Yolanda?
It's happened really organically and naturally. Each of us were drawn to different parts or different stories or different visuals. And then, you know, there was just a faith and a trust that, okay, you go do that and I'll do this and you do that. And we kind of, you know, pulling it all together now to make it one show. So, it kind of happened really naturally and organically. And then there's a trust, just to trust, you know, each other and know that that they will give, you know, that it will just unfold the way it does.
Now, as I mentioned in my intro, some of your bodies are already being projected on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. How did that all come about?
They are. That's a relationship that's been going on for a few years now between Bangarra and Vivid, and that's designed by our head designer, Jake Nash. And, you know, it's really, I think it's really, it's a beautiful imagery, and it's a really, you know, to project First Nation stories on, you know, the iconic Harbour Bridge, I think, is really important. And and that they're opposite the Opera House, which is Bennelong Point, and it's, you know, the whole cove, the sacredness of the cove, I suppose, and the sacredness of connecting to that is, you know, we're projecting onto a man-made structure, but how it all connects to land and to, you know, where we're situated, I think, is really important. So it's a really beautiful kind of special time of year for Bangarra to see, you know, or for the general public as well, to see stories and our connection to, whether it's our current show or whatever the stories we're telling, but projected up there, and that people can see that and digest that, and, you know, in their own way. And it's a really beautiful thing.
Fantastic. And just finally, what do you want people to take away from Dark Emu?
Such a hard question to answer, and I should get used to it by now, because everyone's always asking.
Well, this one's got a lot of punch.
So. Yeah, I know. You know, I would love people to just to take a deeper respect and understanding of the land, and how important it is to us. you know, not just us as Aboriginal First Nations, but to everybody who lives here now. You know, there's such a, you know, there's such this wanting to claim and to own and feel like you belong somewhere in the world, you know, where doesn't, that's happening here in Australia with, you know, there's, you know, kind of crazy, what do you call them, movements of, you know, not wanting to have anybody from overseas belong here and live here. And, you know, that there's that all happening and people just wanting to claim and say, no, this is mine, you can't have it. And, you know, I just think I would just love people to have a deeper respect for, well, A, for who the land first belonged to, you know, and just to have an understanding of how history has unfolded. It wasn't all, you know, what we were taught at school. It just wasn't, and that's the fact and reality of it, you know. God, I remember when I was at school, I was taught Captain Cook. I was like, you know, that's the start of Australia.
Yeah.
You know, like the blind ignorance of that, to not teach kids. And I'm sure it's changing now, and I hope it's changed by the time my son goes to school, but, you know, that kind of ignorance of wanting to shun that part, the you know, what, like 50,900 and whatever that number would be, but the 60,000 years plus before that, is what set up this country and what set up, you know, and how important that connection is to land and country and stories and culture. You know, I'd love people to just have a deeper understanding and respect for that.
Mm. I mean, that whole hunter-gatherer myth, it still perpetuates even today. Do you think this work will break through
that? Oh, no doubt. I don't think, you know, I would love to say that people will come and see Bangarra and or read the book, you know, like if you read the book and you want to see the visual aspect of it and maybe that they will play hand in hand, you know, but I would love to say that if you read the book and see the show, you're all of a sudden, your mind is changed. You know, some people aren't changed as quickly and people are very stubborn. They're very stubborn in the way that they think and they're not interested in other ideas. Well, most people, that's a generality, right? You know, but some people are very, I just choose not to see that. And in a way, that's a colonial way of looking at it too. You know, and the story in the start of Dark Emu is about, well, what the Dark Emu is looking into the sky. And when we look at the Dark Emu, what colonial explorers saw were the stars, and they connected the dots and realized that it looked like an emu. But as Aboriginal First Nations people, we don't look at the stars. We look what's in between.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the space and we look at the blackness in the middle, which is why it's called, you know, Dark Emu. So that symbolism is perfect for how the book unfolds and what we're trying to represent as this, you know, as the dance version of that. It's what you don't see. It's what you're not looking at is what we're trying to show you.
Well, we can't wait to see it. But Daniel, thank you so much for joining us here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.